Let's look at the very familiar John 8. 32, you know that verse. It says, you shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The other day I was listening to a lady praying in English, and she quoted that verse. And when she did, my heart just exploded because I saw something I've not seen before. Revelation is when the light turns on in a darkened room. When you are in the dark, the curtains are drawn, things you don't see, can't see, don't understand, and the Holy Ghost brings you that revelation. And that's what happened to me that day. I love that. I love that because the Holy Ghost doesn't explain it to you. Sometimes you don't get it. And somebody else can explain it to you. And you think, well, that's nice. You know, that's good. And you still don't get it. It's when the Holy Ghost, who guides us into truth, John 16, He guides us into truth. He guides us into truth. And when we pray that Ephesians 1 prayer, that we'll have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of my understanding enlightened, the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your heart, suddenly flooded with light, one translation says. Well, I was listening to her pray, and I've been dancing ever since over that small little word from God that exploded in my spirit. So you shall know the truth. Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? Then you're free. Isn't that simple? I never saw that before. It didn't hit me like that before. And when I wake up in the middle of the night, I say, oh, I know the truth and I am free. I know the truth and I know I'm free. Those who know the truth are free. Free indeed. That's really, really free. In the daytime, I get to thinking about it and I say, whoo, you know the truth. I do know the truth. I've been teaching it for 30 years. There's some things I don't know, some things I have figured out. Some things have come by revelation and study. Holy Ghost has taught us all things. He's the teacher of the church. He's on the inside of you to teach you. He's there for your benefit because you need Him. He's there to teach you. He's there to guide you into truth. Now, when Jesus prayed in John 17, He said, Thy word is truth. So the word of the living God is always truth. So that means if I'm in the word, I'm going to know the truth. If I'm in the Word and trust the Spirit of the living God for revelation and understanding and wisdom, then I am going to know the truth. And if I do know the truth, then I can count myself free. I am free. Now, freedom begins in the Spirit, manifests in the flesh, and there's often a time span, a gap between what the Spirit knows and what the flesh receives. I have to learn how to hold steady in that gap. I have to learn not to be discouraged by pain and symptoms and distress and insurance claims and medical diagnosis and prescriptions and other things. I have to learn how to hold steady. You even have to hold steady when you talk to some people. You have noticed that, haven't you? They usually look like relatives to me, but we won't say that. You shall know the truth, the truth, the truth. Thy word is truth. I'm on a quest for truth. We're teaching to find the truth. We're trusting the Holy Spirit to tell us the truth. Now look at the verse above because this is very critical. You can't just quote verse 32. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And, A-N-D, you'll know the truth. It's the people who continue in the word that come to grips with the truth. It's the people who meditate, the people who study, the people who listen to the Spirit. The people who camp out in a scripture that begin to know the truth. If you continue or abide or remain. Now, we wouldn't have any problem if you were at my house, a bunch of you, and y'all were talking, and the doorbell rang, which I don't actually have a doorbell. I'd say, I'm going to get the door, and y'all just continue. You understand that? Just keep doing what you're doing. That's what continue means. If I had cake or cookies, been wanting some oatmeal. Well, I'm refraining. I'm not going to do that this month. You have to have a goal, you know. And I said, just continue in the cookies and I'll be back. Well, you'd understand that, wouldn't you? So there isn't any mystery about continuing in the Word. Just keep reading it. Keep studying it. Keep reading it. Keep going over it. Keep trusting God for revelation. Now let's just look for the sake of reading it in John 16. Verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He is the Spirit of truth. He is God who knows truth and brings truth to you. He will guide you or lead you or show you the truth. He's going to show you the truth. He'll not speak of himself. Whatever he hears, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He is the Spirit of truth. Now look at Psalms 1. He's going to show us the truth. If what? We continue in the Word. That's what it says. If you continue in the Word. Then it says, you are my disciples. So the disciples, the learners, the students of God, those who are dedicated and committed to God, are going to continue in the Word. Going to continue in the Word. One minister told just recently, he is a tremendous, tremendous teacher, much in demand. And he said he became like a robot. They'd run him to a location where he's going to teach, and he'd stand up and teach. They'd run him to the next one, he'd stand up and teach. And over time, he just burned out because he didn't take time to continue for his own benefit. You know, there's a lot of difference in what I do for you and what I do for me. And I have to do both. And if I don't do both, you get yourself in some trouble. You become real dry and thirsty. Well, he realized he had to do something because he was on the verge of a mental collapse. And it was all because it wasn't his teaching. His teaching was tremendous. It wasn't his gift of teaching. It was tremendous. It was the fact that he didn't have time, just he and God alone. So you've got to have time to continue. Now, I believe some couples get together and read to one another and pray for one another, and I'm for that if that works for your family. That's not going to be a substitute for the time that you and God need. It'll never be a substitute for the time that you and God need. Now, this verse, Psalms 1, explains continue. It means keep on keeping on. It means do it again. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. That's progressive. If you walk with somebody, you're not nearly in much trouble if you get to the street corner and you stand and keep talking, or if you decide to go to the nearest restaurant and sit down together and talk. You see, that's progression there. You're going to be in worse shape and worse shape. You know, what I do is when I see that our conversation is not going to be profitable, I say, hey, how are you? I caught the anointed wave, and I just keep moving. I don't even look back. You know, they want to talk to me, they've chased me down because I'm not volunteering. Then it says, his delight's in the law of God. You know, this isn't a chore to continue in the Word and to know the truth. The truth is so wonderful, and revelation is so startling when the curtain opens up and you see that and you think, oh. Now, when I came into Pentecost, I didn't have a clue Jesus was a healer. Our church never mentioned that. And I didn't know anything. And when they asked me to teach the first lesson, that was the lesson they wanted me to teach. I thought they'd let me do what I wanted to do, but they wouldn't. And I had to teach healing. And I didn't know anything about healing. And I said, I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to do that. And they gave me a book and said, teach these chapters. Because I'm an honest person, I'm going to say, this person says because of this scripture. And I'm going to read scripture. That I'm not committing myself because I don't know if he heals today or not. So I'm not committed. But in that 1 week's time, it was the most startling week I probably ever had. I had such revelation and such understanding that I knew what I knew what I knew. Now, I've not taught before. I heard for several weeks in the Spirit, go ye therefore and teach, just like that. And so I knew I was a teacher. I knew it was coming up. But the anointing fell so strong, several ladies said, you've done that before. I said, no. You see whom God calls, he equips. And I think being raised so close to the church and so close to the Bible, I maybe didn't have some obstacles to overcome that some people do. But God really blessed, and it only took a week to figure out he is a healer. Well, I'll be, he is a healer. I did not know that. You know, we had a prayer list. We prayed for you. Either you lived or you died. That's the way it looked to me. I mean, I'm just a kid, just a girl, but that's the way it looked. Now, it says you delight. So this is not a chore to you. When you delight in something, you know you delight in what? Chocolate cake. 1 year, they asked in Scotland, our connections there, if we would send Tootsie Rolls. They wanted Tootsie Rolls. So I bought $3 worth of Tootsie Rolls, and because they're very heavy, it cost me $25 to mail them. I only did that because I'm a very nice person. But that was their request. Well, if I was going to delight in something, it wouldn't be Tootsie Rolls. It wouldn't even be chocolate. I like lemon and I like coconut. And when you put lemon and coconut in the same place, I'm delighted. It also means that place to delight, that place of luxury. That place of luxury. The Word is that place of luxury. It's the place of luxury. Everybody would like some luxury. I don't know too many people that never want a home, never want a decent car, want to camp out and have to catch the bus. I think everybody wants good accommodations. Everybody wants a nice vehicle. And nobody would refuse a nicer vehicle if they could pay for it or somebody gave it to them. Because we like good things. And God likes you to have good things. We are not possessed by good things, but we like good things. We delight in good things. There was at the bus stop for years down from our house, if he went out early in the morning when I would go out early to take the kids to the bus stop to school, there was a man standing there, a middle-aged man, with his lunch bucket. Day after day after day, waiting on the bus. Now, I know he had been delighted with the car, with the vehicle, not have to stand there and stand there and stand there. The day we didn't see him, I thought, oh, he must be sick. And then we never saw him again. I don't know what happened to him. I think about him every now and then, Wayne, I think about him. And there's this little man that rides his bicycle everywhere. Never seen him in a vehicle, always seen him in a bicycle with, the basket loaded with bags and stuff and his big floppy hat on. And he's been in our neighborhood for a couple of decades. He's very, very elderly now. I know he'd probably be delighted if he had a ride. Although he's a good cyclist after all these years. I wouldn't want to compete with him from my favorite sitting chair. I'm probably not very good competition. So this is something we do because this is good for me, and I love this, and I love God, and I love His Word, and every time I get in there, I'm expecting. You have to expect. Hope is expectation. When you take a garment to the cleaners, you're expecting when you pick it up back that they've cleaned it, aren't you? And faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if you don't have any expectation, your faith is dormant. It's not going to work. When you order a cake from the bakery, you go back, you're expecting that cake is ready. And it's iced just like you told them to ice it. And we have, when we go to delight in the Word, we have such expectation. I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to be guided into truth today. I'm going to be taught something today. And I sit and camp in that place until I do hear from God, until my heart is full. It says, delight in the law of God. In His law doth he meditate day and night. That's continue. Day and night couldn't be a better description of continue. That's continue. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, bringing forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The people who continue prosper. The people who meditate prosper. When you plant a tree by a stream, that tree is always going to have a supply of water and always going to be able to bear fruit. It's not going to have any dry season like some trees would that are far from the bank because it's planted by water. And the scriptures, we are washed by the water of the Word. So the Word of God is the water. And the Word of God is the water. And I'm planted in the Word. Then I can expect to prosper. And it says my leaf won't wither. I can expect to be beyond depression, despondency, despair, because I'm being constantly fed by the water of the Word, because I know how to overcome. Those moments will come, but I know how to overcome those. You see, I'm planted by the water. I'm delighting in the Word. I'm prospering, and I'm bearing fruit. Your meditation is fruit for you. Holy Ghost is in you to help you. Now, the fruit you have in you, you can share with somebody, and they're mildly, I've been mildly benefited more than once by something somebody said they saw or they read. But the first person it's for is for you. Now turn to Joshua 1. We're going to delight in the Word. We're going to meditate day and night. We're going to continue in the Word. And when we do, we're going to know the truth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We knew a little lady that seldom told the truth. The funny thing was, she was not a liar. Never was a liar. She had the gift of confusion. And you can know if she explained it to you, it couldn't be accurate. She just had a way of misunderstanding things. And that's the truth. And Wayne came home one day and he's talking. And I said, Wayne, are you sure about that? That doesn't sound right to me. And he said, well, yeah, it's right. And he told me some more details. And I thought, I don't think so. That's just not right. He said, that's what so-and-so said. I went, Now I know it's not right. She never got it right. She's not a liar. Honest as the day is long. Always confused. It was amazing. Amazing. Well, if I stick with the Spirit and I'm confused, He's going to correct me. We talked about the chastening of the Lord. He's going to correct me. He's going to send me where I need to be. He's going to explain to me and teach me so I have understanding. Now it says, This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in there day and night. Meditation day and night is continue. You're meditating for a purpose that you may observe to do. I'm meditating so I'll have revelation, so I'll have understanding, so I'll know what to do. Now, it tells you in the first part of the verse exactly what we're going to do first. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That means when you elbow me, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm in such pain, I don't know what I'll ever do. They just want test after test after test. I am weary. My knee hurts. They go blah, 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 you know, on and on. If I'm continuing in the word, when you elbow me, I'm going to rise up and say, I serve the Lord. And he blesses my bread and water. He takes sickness and disease away from me. The number of my days I fulfill. And if you're dumber than a brick as far as spiritual things are concerned, I will say, well, thank you for inquiring. I'm doing well. Or thank you for inquiring. I'm progressing. You don't cast your pearls before swine. They're going to help you die. They are. Don't tell them. Say, oh, you're sweet to be interested. How's your dog doing? Somebody said years ago, they're going to know that you changed the subject. I said, I hope so. I'm not trying to be secretive here. I'm trying to let them know that subject's off limits. Now, if you're one who doesn't tell anything, you need a confidant. You need a friend who will stick by your side, who will help you, that you can call on days of stress, who will help you overcome, who will help you review the scripture, who will pray with you and pray for you. If you're one who talks and talks and talks and talks and talks, you need to go to Proverbs where it says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. It means in the multitude of words, the more you talk, the more likely you are to say the wrong thing. That's what that verse means. So I'm going to judge myself and my words. So I'm continuing in the word so that I'll have a word in my mouth. Now, faith works by on two prongs. Look at Romans 10. It works by what you believe and what you say. So what you have in your mouth is critical to your success. This verse, we don't read too much. We usually skip down to verse 9, but look at verse 8. Talking about the word, what does the word say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. We're going to have victory by faith. And so faith comes when we have the God's word. See, we're continuing in the word. We have revelation of the word. We have understanding of the word. We've sat with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has explained and brought wisdom and understanding. The lights have come on. And then we have the word in our heart, in our inward man, which is where the revelation first came. And in our mouth. That means when we have revelation, we have understanding, we speak that revelation. We speak that understanding. And then it says, plan of salvation, you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You want to be saved or delivered from any dilemma, not just from sin. You've got to have enough word to make the right confession in faith. And that's how you're going to overcome. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now look at 2 Corinthians. Let's read it another way. Chapter 4. Verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it's written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You believe because you've continued in the word, you've meditated in the word, you've established a relationship with the word, you're abiding in the word, you're asking the Holy Spirit to explain the word to you, to bring you that revelation, understanding, wisdom that you need. And through that revelation and your time of meditation and continuing, you come to the point of believing with your inward man, not just knowing in your heart. It was on somebody's computer link recently, about the last 2 or 3 weeks. It said, 9,000 words memorized will never work. It's 1,000 word. It's one word spoken from the heart. And there's real truth in that. You know, some of y'all maybe have a gifted memory. I had a pretty sharp memory until I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I learned to lean on the Spirit, and then my mind kind of checked out. I have to get back in the Spirit to remember anything. It's a blessing to have somebody online that remembers for you, that helps you. I went back to college many times. And the last time I was in the final courses that I didn't want to take, humanities being one. And That course so devastated me. It was so foul, so far from truth. And I'd been a student of the Word and teaching a lot of Word. I thought I probably needed a degree. That's the day I found out I didn't need it. I cried all the way home. I told Wayne, it's the last day to get my money back. Go get your money back. And he did that for me. But I also had history. And sitting out in the courtyard between classes, I found out, no matter how I read and how many times I read, couldn't remember it. Because I'd learned to internalize. I'd turn the Holy Ghost remembers. He remembers. He remembers. When you continue in the Word, He remembers. He's going to prompt you and bring to your memory what you need to know. Had that happen many, many times over the years when our children were in a car accident. I'd been meditating, and He'd brought that to my attention. No weapon formed against you prosper. I couldn't remember how old Suzanne was. They asked me. And they said, well, what school does she go to? And I didn't know that either. And they said, well, she's real tall. Let's just put she's a high school student. Is that okay with you? I said, sure. Because my mind would no longer function. Now the heart, the spirit functions through the mind. It comes through the mind to the spirit and through the out of the spirit into the mind. The mind has a pace to pay, but if it stops in the mind, if it's stationary in the mind, you're not going to have the results you need because the Word of God is revealed to the spirit. It's revealed to the inward man, and it's revealed to you so you can believe and do. And the first thing we're going to do is constantly speak the Word. You know, somebody has a favorite ball team, you can hardly shut them up. You don't even want to know. And they talk and they talk. And their team hasn't won a game this year, and they're high in hope and high expectation. They know this will be the game they'll win. They're so excited. You're thinking, oh, brother. And you're smiling because Christians are nice people. Don't ever forget that I told you that. Christians are nice people. I'm smiling, and I say, well, tell me what you like about them. You know, tell you the truth, I don't care. But I'm a nice person. Christians are nice people. Well, we have to learn to speak up with the Word of the living God. I was on my way to Moscow, and this fella at the airport, very muscular young man, we spoke, and I said, I assume you're going to Moscow. I think it was a direct flight, so I knew that. And I said, who are you going to visit? And he told me, and we talked a few minutes. And he said something I could have attached the gospel to. He kind of opened the door, but I refused to go through. I felt bad about that. I didn't say what I knew to say, what I could have said. And I repented all across Moscow. I said, Lord, forgive me. That didn't bother me anymore. If they don't like what I say, they can leave or I'll leave. If I sense to say it, I'm saying it. I'm not chickening out. I'm not backing down anymore. I did that only one time, and the consequences, my heart was just grieved, so deeply grieved. That was years and years and years and years ago, decades ago. So, as I prayed, as it would happen, he was on my flight home, and I got to speak to him. I don't know if it helped him at all. Helped me a lot. I said, Lord, that'll never. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God into salvation. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And that'll never happen to me again. And I can pray at McDonald's, and I can pray at A&B where we eat a lot. In fact, they know. They may not remember our name, but we know those church people. And they're right. We are those church people. And another day, a little waitress came and said, do you pray? Could you pray for me? Well, if she hadn't been working, I'd have prayed then. I'd have had her sit with me. But you can't interrupt the flow of somebody working and cause them trouble in the job. I said, I will. And we, Wayne and I, we did. But you see, we have this great treasure in earthen vessels. Great treasure of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more I continue in the Word, if I'm reticent, I just go to the Scripture. It talks about praying for boldness. And I just say, Lord, help me with boldness. Help me be bold. You know, some people are bold. Some people like me are not bold. I've never been bold in anything that I can remember. I was valedictorian of my high school class. And when I found out that required a speech, I about came unglued. And I prepared the speech, and it was probably pathetic, but I prepared it, and they okayed it. And I went to deliver it, and there's a train track right by the big stadium in Auburndale, and the train came through, they didn't hear a word. And you know what? That didn't bother me at all. Didn't bother me at all. We have to walk with the Lord. We have to walk in the Word. We have to continue in the Word. Now, as we're continuing in the Word, we're going to look at James. We're going to speak the Word. We're going to do the Word. We're going to do what the Spirit of God instructs us to do. Different situations require different actions. And I don't know what you should do, but verse 17, chapter 2, and it's three times in this chapter, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. When something's dead, it's lifeless, it's useless, it's not going anywhere, it's not doing anything, it's no longer profitable. And just faith, that means I believe this gospel, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, but I'm not talking about it, and I'm not following any further actions that the Spirit of God, you know, sometimes it's a matter of tension, the Spirit of God will lead you to go talk to them, or lead you to repent, even if you weren't guilty. We talk about that sometime. There's actions that you take. Now, he's never going to lead you to mail a bill and trust God for the deposit to come in before it gets to the... No, that ain't going to happen. So God is not dumb, and we're not dumb. But he is going to lead us. Faith without works. So there are always, some translators say corresponding actions. There are always things that you can do. I was invited to a birthday party. The girl invited me, said, there's only going to be the three of us. I sensed to do that. And I said, fine. And the day that morning the party came, I was really sick. And I got up. Every time I went to the phone to call her and say I couldn't come, which would have been my norm, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't call and say I can't come. I don't know why. I couldn't do it. Several times I tried that. I couldn't do it. So I went. The first thing I did was check to see where the restrooms were. I mean, I was sick. And they set us up here, and the restrooms were over there. That's the truth. I couldn't have been farther from them. So we sat down, they started chatting, and I ordered what I knew I wasn't going to be able to eat. And when the food came, the smell of it just about, oh, it was horrendous. But the minute I put my fork in it and put that first bite in my mouth, I was totally healed. So I was led of the Spirit. Not being able to make that phone call was the leadership of the Spirit. Now, I wouldn't ever do that. I wouldn't request that you do that. Unless you're sure that you're sure that you're sure that that's the Spirit's leading. But there are always, faith always has some action. It's a verbal word. It's a spoken word. It's an active word. Some situations, there aren't any actions that would be necessary. But you hear that in the Spirit. You know that by the Spirit. We were praying with a bunch of ladies, and one lady said that she had a word from the Lord. She knew that this lady who we were praying for, there was a plant there on the table, and she pulled off a leaf and said, you should eat this leaf. Well, okay, God's not dumb, and that's not dumb, and that's not right, and that's not God. Thank God the lady in charge instantly spoke up and put a stop to that. But what God leads you to do, you'll be sure of, you'll be secure in, and it won't be really dumb. When we go through life, there are three categories. There's only two in my book. There's three in Suzanne's. Depends on who you ask. If it's not illegal or immoral, we can do it. She always tell me, Mother, if it's not illegal or immoral or really dumb, we can do it. So I'm judging my action by the leadership of the Spirit. But always I'm speaking the Word. Always I'm talking about my healing. Always. And I won't back down from that. Always I'm talking about my Jesus and talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the other thing, turn to Romans 4. It's always a matter of praise and thanksgiving. You don't really believe if all you can say is, thank God I'm healed. If you really got it, you really believe it, you really know the truth, it's really been revealed to you, you're excited about it. Even if you're only excited when you're by yourself alone. One great minister said he did a lot of dancing at home by himself. I perfectly understand that. You can't make a bold person out of a shy person except under the power and wind of the Spirit. And then suddenly they change. And I've changed a time or two. I was in a meeting. I never danced in my life. Christians didn't dance where I came from. Didn't go to movies. They didn't play card games. They didn't play board games with dice. And somebody told me they didn't have Cokes on Sunday, but that rule passed me by. I don't know where I was, but I realized later and think about it, I asked my sister if she remembered. We just never had Cokes. We were below the average median in income, and we didn't ever have Cokes. And you could go downtown and have Cokes, all kind of Cokes, at the drugstore in Auburndale, but I didn't ever go in there because we didn't have the money for Cokes. Well, huh. if you really believe, you're shouting. You know you got it. I got it. I've been shouting all week. I know the truth. I do know the truth. I know the truth. I do know the truth. And I'm free. I am free. Now, the first thing that's going to happen, your body's going to tell you, are you kidding me? As I was studying this lesson, going over it again this morning, I picked up this in the Spirit. Today we're talking about Holy Ghost distractions. Isn't that funny? But the Scripture gives us four ways that we can keep our heart on track. Four ways that we can overcome the pain and the trauma and the depression, the fear, the worry, the dread. The first is as we continue in the Word. Now look at Proverbs 4. You are going to have some distractions. You are going to have some moments that the devil really pounds your head. What do you think? What do you think? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you think that's right? Do you think they've told you the truth? Do you think the surgery will work? Do you think? Do you think? Do you think? He's trying to cripple your faith. If he steals your faith, then he can cripple you. He can prevent victory. So I want to be anchored for victory. I don't want anything stealing my faith. I'm going to speak the word. I'm going to rejoice over the word. I'm going to shout over the word. Now, Proverbs 4 tells us about continuing in the word. Another way of saying continue, my son, attend to my words. Pay close attention. Focus on the word. That means every day I have a time of word focus. Incline your ear. I'm listening to the Spirit of God. I'm listening to the explanation he would give me. Unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. Keep them in your heart. Watch them closely in your heart. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Is that amazing? Health. You say the word health, not healing, health. Which is far better than healing. Everybody appreciates getting well. We're for that. But to walk in perfect health. And see, it's my letting the word, keeping it before my eyes. It's seeing constantly the word, hearing constantly the word, and guarding the word. And I have to guard the word from the pain because it steals the word. I know, been there. I have to guard the word from the medical expenses and the insurance dilemmas because it steals your faith. Well, there are a lot of things that steal your faith, and it says you got to keep that word, you got to guard that word, you can't let these things steal your faith. So here's the remedy. The first thing we need to know, no matter what the pain, what the dilemma, we're going to stick with the word. If I have to read it and cry, I'm going to read it and cry, but I'm sticking with the word. I'm continuing the word, day and night in the word, always in the word. The word is my answer, and I'm not veering from the word. Now, look back at Romans 4 where I told you. And this is a testimony of Abraham, and you will see. Of course, Abraham didn't have a Bible to read, but God had appeared to him and told him he would be the father of a great nation, many nations. Well, at Sarah's 90 and he's 100, that's not likely. So we're facing with the word of the Lord and an impossibility. That happens all the time. The word of the Lord, the doctor says you're going to die. The word of the Lord, the doctor says you're going to have three surgeries. The word of the Lord. See, there's always a contradiction. A word of the Lord, and you find out your insurance is going to pay like you thought it would. But we've got to overcome that. We're going to continue in the word. Now, that means in the middle of the night, I wake up, my hip is, I had injured my hip all the way down my leg. I don't know what I did. And for January, February, March, I've been in excruciating, excruciating pain. I'd have to think about it. I'm going to get up. I have to decide, can I get up by myself or do I need somebody to lift me? I was on heat or ice, almost 24 hours a day, all the time. I went out under great stress, just gritting my teeth. I was afraid somebody would say, are you all right? Because I lost my smile more than once. But the key is to continue in the promise. Don't give up the word. Don't give up the promise. Use the medical remedies. Do what your heart tells you to do. But you have to continue in the word. You have to hold fast to the word. And so in the middle of the night, I've got my hands in the air, in the dark. Wayne's not easily interrupted. It wouldn't matter if he was. He can stick his hands in the air. And I said, Lord, I thank you that you're my shepherd. I'm feeding in green pastures. I'm sitting by still waters, waters of peace. And I'd quote that a number of times. And I'd go over to the Lord's Prayer. And then I'd quote some healing scripture. And I'd do that sometimes for an hour or two at night, over and over. I am going to continue in the Word. If you steal the Word, you steal my victory. And I'm not going to let that happen. Now, it wasn't that that's what I wanted to do at 3 in the morning. It was necessary. It was necessary. And so anytime you face depression, upset, uptight, and you realize you're not functioning in faith, back to the Word. Quote it, read it. And then if you have to offer the sacrifice of praise, do it deliberately. I say intentionally, on purpose, you know. One day I got, you know, I don't ever cry. Once every 10 years. I found if you let it all hang out, you got to tuck it all back in. It's not worth that to me. Besides that, my mother said, if you cry in your room. So I've been schooled in no tears since I was a little girl. We just didn't cry. Mother didn't like that. We didn't cry. And I got up really sad, really depressed. There wasn't a thing wrong with me. I couldn't think of a thing. I didn't have a thing going on. I didn't have any dilemma. I didn't have any trauma. But I was so uptight and so depressed. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the Word. I'm going to walk with the Word and praise the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. I am. But it was a sacrifice because I didn't feel like it. We have a 5-foot aisle in the kitchen. I went round and round. I'm going to say praise the Lord. I went round and round. I must have done a mile. I couldn't get my mouth open. I mean, your heart said nobody knows the trouble you've seen. I said, but I didn't have any trouble. But I am really down under something. I went round and round and round and round. And finally said, praise the Lord. It was the saddest praise the Lord you ever heard. And then I sat down and cried. I don't know. Somebody said, crying always helps me. It never helps me. I'm not doing it. So you're an individual. Do what helps you. Well, I know what I got to do. This is how it works. You know, if you balance your checkbook and you don't get the right answer, you say, I'll never subtract again the longest day I live. Subtraction's right. Praising God in the hard times is right. Offering the sacrifice of praise when you don't feel like it. Reading the Word and offering the sacrifice of praise and speaking the Word, that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you do. So I got up, tried again. The second time I said, praise the Lord, it was better. And the third time, something happened to my feet. Now I'm a total non-dancer. I don't even know how to dance. But something happened to my feet and I felt it hit my feet. It was marvelous. And I'm home by myself, so it doesn't matter at all what it looked like. I danced all over the kitchen. I do that every now and then today, just get excited. The other day I'm praying about something. I don't even know what I'm praying about, but it sure was a moment of victory. Something was happening. Somebody, it was good. And I got so excited, I jumped up and down the kitchen. Well, if Wayne came in, he'd probably just ignore me. You are who you are. Be who you are in Christ. Don't let the world talk you out of what God is doing in you. You don't have to have worldly dignity. You have to have Holy Ghost obedience. Amen. And there's nothing about my dancing. That big dignity. As I've written, verse 17, as I've written, I've made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead, quickens Sarah and Abraham so that they can conceive and bear a child, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. See, there's no evidence. Those things that be not, there's no evidence at all. It isn't. It isn't. Naturally, it isn't. It isn't going to happen. It's not. It doesn't make any difference because God said all things are possible to him that believes. If I stick with the Word, who against hope believed in hope? See, there's no natural hope, but hope comes from God. Psalmist 119 says hope in the Word. Hope comes from the Word. It comes from the promise of God. If you have God's promise, you have hope. You have expectation of victory. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. There are some things you have to consider not. You have to channel yourself. The minute you realize I'm depressed, I'm uptight, things aren't working for me, I'm fearful, I'm despondent, whatever it is you realize, the very minute you do, you have to go to the Word, camp out in the Word, read the Word, and begin to shout over the promise. And not consider the body, not consider the trauma. See, what throws us a curve is we consider. You know, that means we contemplate. What will I do if? So don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't consider his body. now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of staring. He staggered not at the promise of God. Pain makes you stagger. I sat on my sofa sometime February, March, in so much pain I was visibly rocking. No heat, no ice, nothing helped. And I had tears welling up in my eyes. I was in trouble. I said, why didn't you go to the doctor? I would have. I didn't feel to. You follow your heart. Let me follow mine. I'm not against the doctor. I have one. It was a terrible moment. But what do? Let's all praise the Lord. So that's what you do. Grab the promise and praise the Lord. Grab the promise and praise the Lord. Grab the promise and praise the Lord. Just keep praising. Just keep singing. Sing hallelujah to the King. Sing hallelujah to the King. Sing, I am healed, O Lord. Sing, I am healed, O Lord. The day I got up, now the pain came right back. But for 10 or 15 minutes, I didn't have any pain. You would have just thought somebody wrote me a check for $1 million. I was a happy camper. And about that time, Wayne injured his hip moving some tile. He was actually going to lay tile on the front porch and figured out maybe he isn't. So we've hired somebody that's coming in May. But he was sitting over here in agony. He said, you want the heat or the ice? I would have to share. So he goes down and gets more. You can buy these ice things, which are wonderful. And gets more ice. And I have four of those. Sometimes it takes four in the refrigerator, in the freezer. And even Sunday, Susan laughed, but the purse and the Bibles were on the floor and Pastor dismissed. And I said, is it your turn to bend over or mine? I sing because I'm healed. I sing because I know. I'm not moved by my body or by my feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by the physical senses. The senses said, it isn't, it isn't, it isn't, it isn't, it isn't. And God said, it is. Do you know the truth? Then you're free. And in my heart, I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free. I do know the truth. And I'm continuing in the word and continuing in praise. And I'm free. So where's your evidence? It's right here. It's in the book. Do you know it says they lay hands on sick and they recover, recover, recover. What happens to us, I give God about 24 hours and then I know this thing's not working. But sometimes recovery takes a while. And then it says in John 4, the boy began to amend. In other words, it was some time span there. He began to amend. Now, I want to explain this to you. This is only point one of my lesson, so we'll go next week on the other three. I can't get there. What was I going to tell you? Sing hallelujah. I don't even know. To the King. I don't know. I'm just disconnected somehow from that thought. Anyway. Oh, recovery. About recovery. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It's a good thing He remembers because sometimes I don't. If you have cancer and they lay hands on you and the tumor disappears, you're still going to be thin. Your organs are still going to be damaged. You're still going to have recovery time. But because the tumor is now gone, you will recover. You haven't seen anything, but you have now, you can begin to amend because at the root cause of your distress is missing. It's gone. It's been eliminated. Once the root cause, you see, when somebody only weighs sick, only weighs 75 pounds, and suddenly that tumor or that dilemma is healed, they're still going to have to eat and gain weight. They're still going to have to do a little exercise. They still maybe have to have some physical therapy. They're still going to have some moments of pain because the organs have been damaged. The organs are damaged and there is going to be pain, but you can recover. The tumor's gone. Amen. Do you see that? So very important. And what we do, we look at physical symptoms and then we give up. We're not giving up anything, not one inch to the devil. And we're not wavering. And if I found a moment I'm wavering, I'd get my prayer partner on the phone. He's sitting back there. They don't have to. Sometimes I have to phone him. He's in the yard. Or I'd call four or five. I have five people almost on speed dial. I just imagine, here they go. You know, all, I want them all to know. We're in distress. When I was, we went to the mountains last year. I don't know what happened to me, but by the time I got there, I couldn't stand. I was in excruciating pain. And we went down and got the usual ice and all that, and I just didn't get any better. We were supposed to be on vacation, but I could hardly, sometimes the pain just took my breath away. Now, I'm pain sturdy. I'm not one of these people that can't take a little pain. You can beat me up. I can stand. I am pain tolerant. But that was just overwhelming. And I got on that button and I said, let the group know I need help. And they prayed, and 24 hours later, it was totally gone. I was well. You got to have help. Holy Ghost is your helper. The Word is your helper. Praise is your helper. And then a person added to that, go for it. The people that are very slow to recover, listen to me. I've been at this a long time, are people who live alone. They live alone. They have a day of pain. They have a day, then they get depressed. They have nobody to encourage them. Nobody to stand by their side. Nobody to pray for them on the scene. Find you somebody. I told one lady who's very, very ill, Wayne and I are available to you 24 hours a day. Lives alone. 24 hours a day. Don't hesitate to call me at 3 o'clock. We will come. Because people that live alone usually struggle to recover because they don't have the voice of encouragement. And you be the voice of encouragement for somebody. And sometimes you can encourage them by not saying, are you getting any better? It's not a good question. Watch what you say. Are you? Wow, you're pale today. Did you forget your medicine? Or? You know. Don't be a hindrance. When I study Genesis and teach marriage, I every now and then get to teach marriage. I like that. As long as they don't make me teach sex, I'm not teaching that part. And I was studying the word helpmeet, trying to find out what's a helpmeet. And I looked it all up. I got all the Hebrew and I got Webster's Dictionary. I got all the definitions, but somehow my heart wasn't satisfied. And I said, Lord, what's a helpmeet? What is a helpmeet? And I heard in the Spirit, one who doesn't hinder. Be the one who helps and doesn't hinder. Be the one who stands by their side. Be the one that helps them. They don't have a word, so let me read you one then. Sometimes, you know, they're in such stress, they did have a word, they forgot it, you know. Go over it again. Because Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. The Word's working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. I don't go by circumstances, what I feel or see. The Word is working mightily in me. We're so grateful, our Father, for these who have listened so attentively. We're so grateful we leave here with some understanding. We leave here with some remembrance. We leave here and we're glad that we came. For those who didn't hear, our Father, bless them this week. Bring to their remembrance what they needed to hear. And I thank you, Father. You are so good to us, so good to us, so good to us. So let's shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.